Oh, I'm supposed to go up there. Well, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
As my wife said, you know, she's the reason why I'm here. Amen. I like to publicly acknowledge, you know, I would have been a complete disaster without
her. Amen.
Amen. Oh, why are you gonna have me? Why are you gonna have me? Amen. Even to people this morning, oh, well, you know, issues of luggage, international, then look at, you know how it is. And then she said, do this, I was going the right way. And then she came up with a very good, it just broke the deal. He said, why don't we pack this, and that solved all the problem. So it solved all the weight and luggage issues. You know, so I really appreciate my wife. And she's getting prettier every day. But it's the truth. I just, sometimes it doesn't have looking at time. I just say, I'm marrying her then. And I say, you're very pretty. She doesn't know. I say, you're looking very pretty. She doesn't know. So you young men, you have to do that. You have to learn to appreciate him.
Yes, sir.
My husband was preaching at her daughter's wedding. She said you have to kiss your wife 5 times in a day.
So, 5 times?
No, I said minimum. That's minimum. So of course I try to practice that. God will help us to succeed. Amen. Amen. It's really exciting to be here. Like your brother said, it's, you know, sometimes we take a lot of things for granted. You know, this one certainly not for granted. We really thank God. We can't give you all the testimonies of the logistics that have gone to make this possible, but we are really excited to be here. And brilliant to us, you know, a lot of people are praying and keying in. You know, I would just say, Brother Larry, you know, I would just say, what were we doing with our WhatsApp? You know, we didn't know how we're getting on. But now it's very easy, just do something and everybody's on. So you better believe it, everybody, you're on. You really know we're here. You know, so we're really excited to be here, thank God. Like my wife said, we've seen a lot of new faces. And also lots of the old ones, beginning from this side. And they go around the room. Amen. You know? And then I see the fellowship has grown stronger, you know, in several respects. And of course, moved around. Last time, oh, we had someone and somewhere else. Well, that's the way it is. There's always waves and different dimensions. Last Sunday we were on the protocol with Dr. Florence. We had a great time, you know, rejoicing for the fantastic testimony, you know, of the provision. And like you said, when the Lord turned back the captivity of Zion, that was one of the scriptures that also came. Dr. Florence, you think so? Yes, last Sunday was one of the scriptures that came. You know, for it's really turning back the captivity of Zion. You know, sometimes when it looks late, you know, we don't know that he's still planning. You know, we were in Kenya I think it was in April, in Nairobi, you know, and there was a song. You may know, it says, the God of the God of the good time is the God of the bad times. Is the God in the mountain is the God in the valley. Amen. Amen. You know, so sometimes we have to go through, or God allows us to go through the bad times, the good times, the mountain, the valley. You know, it's all in Him. Somebody says evening and morning. You know, it's all in God. You know. So really thank God. And coming up here, I was just praying and asking God what, you know, sometimes along the road you get to know that you have to step out of the way. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're a young man like me, you know, you have a lot of ideas, energy, you know, brimming with all kinds of things. But along the line, you learn to step out of the way, you know, so that God can have this. So I'm asking, I said, what really do you have in your mind? What are you saying? You know, and a word came, you know, as in the midst of all that. So I'd just like to spend some time to just share some scriptures. I was telling Brother Prince Will, I think. Yes, I was asking for, I asked for a writing board, but obviously that hasn't happened. It hasn't happened, so we will move on without that. Some other time. Anyway, but there is a word, you know, something like that the Lord spoke, and which I'd like to share, you know, share with us. It's a phrase. You know, like the one Brother Chuba was talking about, not so, you know. There's a phrase that came, it's taken from the story in Matthew 25 about the virgins. The phrase is at midnight. That was the word that came. It says at midnight. Well, I don't know if you know, I wrote a book a few years ago. On midnight. It's out of print now. Well, we hope to reprint. As I was praying, that was what that came, at midnight. And you know, midnight is very interesting. We're looking at you know, in the context of scripture, we can see a lot of, you know, some exciting, some interesting stories of midnight. And then, for me, I like to look at it, well, just in the, you know, the interesting thing about God's house is that you have different shapes. You know, if you permit me, every servant has a body in his character. Like we always say, that's how you know someone is a servant, he has to have a body.
Yes.
You know, it takes time to cook it. But when it's cooked, it's cooked. You know, so I'll just share my own perspective. You know, so midnight is not a day. In my own understanding, it's not a day. At the time when the word was coming, even now, I found to be true. And when we look at scripture, we will see that it is true. That midnight is a period of time. And in that period of time, you have a series of events that happen. I was listening to a brother. I'm not preaching it, so you have to be careful with receiving it. I'm not preaching midnight prayer, but you will notice all the major events in the Bible happen at midnight or somewhere connected with the night. All major events, even Jesus himself, will rise up a great while before the morning to go and pray. So that might instruct you, that can be of help to you. Midnight is a period of time, a series of events. And at the time when the Lord was speaking to me about midnight, almost like 7 years ago, or somewhere in that frame of time, it was clear that, you know, that the world as it is We are heading, we are going somewhere. Now, looking back, it is obvious that there is, well, you can see the hand of God guiding and pushing and moving things in that direction of midnight. Well, you know, when you look at the word night, you can, well, of course, you look at the natural, you always start with the natural. Yes. But the word of God also comes in the three dimensions. You have the natural, you know, so you have the natural midnight and natural day. And, you know, and of course, in the spirit, you have the night and the day, the midnight as it were. For example, in Genesis chapter 1, there are two types of light that you see there. You also see darkness and midnight in the same place. On the day 1, it says God laid there the light, isn't it?
Yes.
But on the day 4, he also talks about another light. Okay. So we are looking at a progression as it were. So in the spirit, you have, of course, you have the natural day and night, which on the same have their own impact. But in the spirit, you come into that what God calls night, and then midnight. For example, look at the scripture in Isaiah 60. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." For he said, "Behold, darkness shall do what? Shall cover the earth." You know, when you read that, you are comfortable, but you need to go forward. He said, "Darkness shall cover the people, cover the earth, and great or gross darkness, who? The people." So you see, now earth has come to people. I don't know if you are looking at the, so he's saying the darkness is going to progress. But as it's progressing, light is also progressing.
Right.
So you have the two walking hand in hand. And that's why it's always that you have the light and you have the darkness. The two walking together. So the context in that phrase that we're looking at in Matthew 25 says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, behold the bridegroom cometh." You know, so we are looking, so the question is, what midnight now are we looking at? Obviously, very clearly, it's not speaking about the natural night. Therefore, it's speaking about something the spirit. And we know there is a third dimension of the word, which is the fullness of the spirit. Now, because when you look at the scripture, you see a seed sown, you see a serpent introduced in Genesis 3. In the Revelation, the dragon now has seven heads. So that is the end of it. That is the fullness of it. So when you see a spirit manifesting, you have to look for. I remember Brother Shalang would say in those days, said you have what they call the law of first and last mention. That is, you know, when you see the thing, you have to go and search to see where it's going, and then you must have an end of it. In the natural, like the word that he was speaking, famine, every period of famine must have a beginning and an end. When dryness comes, it begins, it must have an end. When someone is in a situation, there is a beginning of it, and there is an end of it. There's always a season, you know, in God's dealing. So in this case, we're looking at this word about night. It says, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." So we're looking at spiritual darkness, spiritual difference. Now, in the spirit, there are two there are two basic spiritual what was it? Spiritual, I don't want to say power, but there are two basic spiritual principles. Light and darkness. And for many people, we're not able to properly come to terms with that. God, being God, you know, the scripture in Psalm 139 talks about these two principles. So even if I take my leave and I go into darkness, that the darkness will become light to God. Another one says, both the light and the darkness are before you. Hell and heaven are before you. How much more the hearts of men? In other words, so there, you have those two principles, and you also look at the scripture like Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the whole earth was without form and void. There was darkness everywhere. But, you know, that's not the end. It says, in the midst of that, the Spirit of God was over the darkness. You know, so when you have darkness, you need to look closely, because you will see that the Spirit of God is there. God is, you know, in control of it. It's like, you see the, you know, somewhere in scripture says the rivers run, they never overrun. Have you ever thought of it? Why the river don't just, like once in a while you have a continuous tsunami, you know, you have once in a while you have the rivers overstepping their bounds. You know, so, in the earth, you know, in what is happening, there is clearly a night and a day. You know, there is the working of the principle of darkness and the principle of the light. And I don't think we can get into that now, but the scripture in Colossians says he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So there are two kingdoms. There is the light and then there is the darkness. And you know, where all this is working, it's working in the heart, working in the individual, you know. And I believe God is calling us as a people to overcome the darkness. But darkness is not as, you know, it's not easy to locate as you will see. Because you know, you need a lot of discernment to be able to, you know, to look at that. You know, so scripture says in Matthew 25, it says verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. So here is speaking of one very important activity at midnight, the voice, a cry. Some people will say a trump or trumpet. And somebody would even talk about the last trump, you know. So at midnight, in the midst of the darkness that we see in the world, there is a voice. In other words, there is light, even at the midst of darkness. Amen. So, Thessalonians says that we are a people of light. You know, we are called to be people of the light. So, the darkness will increase, so also will the light increase. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, say, we are seeing abounded grace or light, you know, is going to the house of God. There is that, the two will always work together. Someone, of course, if I look at my setting, it's easy to give excuses. Well, since I don't have, I'm so busy at work, I have to carry fires at home. Do those who carry fires. If you don't carry fires, there will be something that will follow you home. Okay? So you have to, keep doing. So you know, you have opportunity for those who are half, you know, if you are a mother, I have those, you have three or four boys. Can you imagine having four boys? We are jumping and crawling around all over the place. Well, that's exactly what we're doing. It's a lot of time, a lot of work. You know, I think there's enough excuse why you cannot do the things you should do. But the scripture says that in the midst of the darkness,
that's
great grace. Amen. Yes, great grace. Like they say, this woman, John Wesley's mother, the story says they had 12 of them also. It was only 9. You know. But the woman, she always had time. That's where we end in the message today. She always had time to do what she had to do. You know. So the thing is not the circumstance.
Yes.
Of life, you know, if you live in a big city like Atlanta, I don't know how it is. I'm coming from my own small city, which you would say is a big city. We know how stressful it is. You know, you leave your house, don't get back until it's really, really late. Okay, so how are you going to do? How are you going to go cook? How will you contain it? You know, and if you are like, so of course, you have these four different kinds of lives. We have fellowship one, we have one at work, we have ministry, you know, you have to bring and juggle it all together. And having done all, you have to overcome, you have to do what you have to do. You know, so the word I find God saying to us is that at midnight, there is a voice. There is a cry. Amen. Amen. But the question is, are you hearing the cry? You know, are you hearing the cry? You know, can you identify? A few years, a few years, okay. Let's say, okay, months. I found God asking me a question. It's like, who are you? I don't know if you have heard that question. Jesus asked somebody, who do you say that I am? So I found God asking me, who do you say you are? Who are you? Because we are talking about hearing. Alright? They said to him different things. You are this, you are that. But the question, if God will go to ask you a question, assuming now you are, God asks you, who are you? What will you answer? You know, my answer was that I am body. That I identify myself with my body, my physical. Alright? And that's who, you know, for me, when I look at my personality identification, so if you have to pardon me, I come from the place that we use those big words, identification. Just pardon my big grammar, okay? Because in identifying yourself, who did you say? Which part of you dominates you? Because the scripture tells us, Paul talks a lot about it, because you understood, he was a scholar, you knew that there was a physical man and there was an inner man. Okay, you call it outer man, inner man. You look at your book like Ezekiel, it talks about the inner temple, inner court, outward court, outward temple. You know, and you know, we as a people, particularly end time people, we have all kinds of names. End time, imagine, I was the right one, all those were my child, you have so many names. But you know, when all the names have been put aside, you know, darkness is what puts the name aside. You understand? When darkness knocks on your door, you know, all those big names go. You put it aside, then you have to address the darkness. You come to reality. Amen. Now, when that comes, then you will know who you are. Okay? They ask somebody the question, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? You know, and that's the question that we are being asked even now. Who are you? Because who you are determines the voice you hear.
Yes.
I don't know if you are, it determines the predominant voice that you are hearing. Because the man that we have known has been the afford man, an ex-man, an ex-bound man.
Yes.
You know? The man God created something unique. You know, I said, God, give me the opportunity to know this man. You understand? That is to come to the realization of what God has made. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Scripture says, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world? And to do what? Lose his soul. Can you imagine that kind of bad market? You bring all the world together. You know, all the world together. Bring education, money, pleasure, comfort, prosperity. In these days of prosperity, you don't know what prosperity it is until you lack. Then you know what prosperity is. Amen. You know, when you don't lack, it doesn't mean anything. But when you have been a lack, then you know what. Okay, so Africans know what prosperity is because a lot of people are really in lack. You know, when you are an American, you know, the roads are very smooth. When you say prosperity, until they take you out of the country. So, well, young people here need to go on mission. We can take you to Kenya. We have potholes that the depth of the road is deeper than the level one. Even in Nigeria, you find it. You know, then you appreciate goodness. Amen. Okay. So, you know, in the midst of all that, you know, you have to characterize yourself. Who are you? Because God made a man. He made a man that had two natures. The scripture tells us he breathed into the man and the man became a living soul. Alright? You know, now the soul of man, the man, the personality of the man, is a beautiful creation of God that has the capacity to manifest in the earth and manifest in the heaven at the same time. Amen.
Amen.
As I am standing before you here now, some of the sisters here now are cooking soup at home. Some of them have gone to shop. They are drawing up a list.
While they're there.
Oh my God. So the young people are already, they are operating their laptop and their phone as they are here now. So the young people, they are chatting with their friends as we are sitting down here. Am I out of place? You are already planning. You are planning your week. You are planning your week. You are visiting. Are you even here? We don't know that. Leave the brother. Don't worry. No, the brothers are getting ready for baseball game and soccer game in the afternoon. Amen. That's the reality. You know, of what we are looking at. Amen. You know, so at some point we must come to, like the Americans say, you must come to the plate. You understand? You must step up to the plate. You come to, you know, so the church, we are still playing games, and then very soon the reality is dawning on us. Amen. Because midnight is coming and we are now coming to reality. And God is asking the question, who are you? Amen. Because who you hear, who you are, determines the voice you are going to hear at midnight. Because the soul uses the body to relate with the physical environment. You know, for a long time, I personally, that has been my preoccupation. How do I relate to my environment? I have two round things, they call eyes. I see you with it, isn't it? I have two small things that they put by the side that enables me to hear. Alright, then that's not all of it. Then I have something they call nose. Then I have another one called nose. But how is it that all of them are in the head? Amen. How come all these things I'm saying that all in the head? You know, so the body relates. And when you look at the scriptures, it says the soul hears the voice of the natural with the body. But Paul, even when you read through the New Testament, you will see. There's no way you read that you will not notice. Paul talks about the inward man. Talks about the inner man. You know, for example, in Philippians, it's Ephesians, says, I pray that you might be, Ephesians 3:14, that you might be strengthened with strength or might. Where? In the inward man. So there is a covenant that the man may run dry in the inward man. Yeah? The man can be empty. And that's what we see in Matthew 25 verse. Something terrible happened in verse 8 of Matthew 25. And that is what God does. That is where it appears that we have come to. In the church and in the world, and something that we need to make sure doesn't happen. Look at what it says. And the foolish virgin said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have what? Gone out. That means the oil in the lamp has run out. There's an energy crisis. There's an oil crisis in the church. Is it possible that the oil has run out? If oil runs out, then that's a big trouble. Trouble has come. That's midnight. And this one is a very big trouble. Because you can't share your oil. You cannot share your oil even with your wife. Children, listen. Your father cannot share his oil with you. Everybody must go and back. Of course, not just the children, the old people. We have to learn, we have to understand, we have to remind ourselves that we cannot share the oil. I can't even share my oil with my friend. That's how serious the matter is. Until at midnight, the oil has run out. Now, if you look at it, you are of interest. You know, for somebody like me, I have interest in all those small things. Now, what's the difference between lamp and vessel? Because that's the story, if you read. The five wise virgins, somewhere down there, it says the wise, they had oil in the lamp and also had in the vessel. The foolish only had in the lamp, no oil in the vessel. And when stress came at midnight, when trouble came, what happened? The oil in the lamp could not sustain the oil in the vessel. Therefore, everything went dry. Amen. And like they will say, for those, if there's any, those who deal with engines, it means that the engine has knocked. If the engine knocked, it means it has broken down. The engine has knocked. Is it possible for the engine to knock? That is for the spirit of man. The spirit is broken. I mean, they are overwhelmed. The man is overwhelmed. And in some of the proverbs says that the spirit of a man will sustain him. Will sustain his infirmity. And in that same place it says that it is the spirit that gives life to the body. If you know the way God made you that the spirit will give life to the body. The body will go anywhere.
Sure.
But it happens that we are body. We have been the body people. And we pay less attention to the spirit. that which is going to define our body. You understand? So as time goes on, we see that the body begins to break down. As I tell the brethren, garlic is good. What's the other one? Turmeric. Some people are exactly turmeric, rosemary,
blackberry.
That's good. I just want that one. What's the name of it?
All of them.
They are good though. But there is a place where it will not injure. It will not injure because there is something that you will need beyond all this natural, and that is the oil of the Spirit. Amen. And we have paid very little attention to this oil of the Spirit, buying the oil. Somebody says, buy oil and sell not. Or buy fruit, don't sell it. And you know, when you buy your oil, you must have it. So we must relate to the Spirit, to the soul, and to the body. Those are the three dimensions of man. Alright, Spirit, soul, and body. Alright, vessel and lamp. You know, so what? How do you differentiate it? The scripture is very complete. And, when you look around, we can contest, you can see. For instance, one of my very favorite scriptures, you find it in Proverbs 20. So let me read it for you. Proverbs 20. Very beautiful scripture, fantastic scripture. 20:27. It's a scripture that I'm sure we will not want to forget in a hurry, we want to look at it. It says, the spirit of man is what? Is a candle. The word candle is really not good. It's actually a lamp. If you are reading the Hebrew, it's a lamp of the Lord. Doing what? Searching all the what? Inward parts of the belly. That belly, even you read it, you know it's a piece of the soul. Okay, good. So he's saying something that the spirit of man relates to the spirit of God. So you can see the spirit of God, spirit of man. You can see the entire relationship. So one is emptying into the other. One is giving energy and strength. When you say light is energy. I know many, we Christian people, we are afraid of energy. So can you just permit me today to use the word energy? Do I have permission for you? You know, the Sadducees, they say, no, there's no spirit. There's no resurrection. That's not it. The Pharisees agree. They said there was spirit. And, amen. So, we are neither Sadducees or. We just take the scripture as it comes. And there is energy. Jesus said, I am the bread. What is bread? Bread is energy, it's life. Okay, just an English word of spiritual reality, of strength. And brethren, where we are now, you need bread, you need energy. And we're going to look at it, there are some very bad spirits that have been released. Very bad ones. And if you don't have strength, the Bible says that that death will feed on you. That's the scripture that says there are spirits that come to suck life. Amen. And it is the strength you have that will strengthen. If your strength faces the day of adversity, what is it? You understand? So there is something. I know we like to claim we are this one, we are that one, but it is in the midst of crisis that we know the energy we have, our energy level, our strength level. Amen. You know, so he's saying something about the lamp. So we know the lamp, when the scripture uses the word lamp, it's not just speaking of English, it's speaking about a spiritual reality. It's speaking about a relationship. I know in the world we are today, we are in the quick fix thing. But one of the things that God is teaching us, even how we relate one another, is relationship. Is it not relationship? And relationships are built. You have to build it. Okay, example. Say a brother offended. It's harder to be won. Is it?
Yeah.
Good. So he's saying when you're in a relationship breakdown, you don't just fix it like that. It takes time to build that relationship. So you better make sure it doesn't break down. Because when it breaks down, to fix it, it's not just going to be fixed. God can and God fix relationships. You know? And it's also speaking about a relationship with God. And in today's world, the bad part is 7 ways to prosperity. So 1, 2, 3, 4, and have prosperity. That's not God's life. God doesn't work. God, you know, God builds relationships. Say, Abraham, come. And I will do what? I will make a covenant with you. And then Abraham walk before me. So how many people in this room have a walk with God? I know you don't have a title. I'm a child of God. I am born again. I am end time. I am Lord and I have come out of Babylon. No, also, after we have finished all that, do I have a relationship with God? Amen.
Yeah.
And you know, relationships can break down, but you can also build with God. And then you can increase that relationship, you can grow closer, isn't it? And you can also grow very fast. Okay? So it says, Enoch walked with God. Try to walk with you know, yeah, I mean, if you are walking, like, you know, you have to get up when it's raining, you have to go to work, when you are tired, you break down, whatever it is, you must be at work. And so relationships sometimes requires faithfulness. Requires commitment. Requires you have to put in. You have to you know, commit to it. It takes something from you. You know, and those are some of the things we find missing in the Christianity of today. Even you know, so people say, well, to be a Christian means say do this, do that. I come to fellowship. Mommy says I should follow. Sorry, my heart is for the young people. So it's not that I forget about the older people. You know. But, well, let's go now. Shebi, dear church, let me just go. And then, Shebi, you sit down. And then, Shebi, in your mind, you have traveled to where you want to go. Amen. Oh, yeah, now. It's like one brother says, you know, you tell the child, stand up. The child says, okay, I'm standing up, but in my mind, I'm sitting down. So, where are we? The child is standing up. You know, so we have to do something about this inward man.
Hallelujah.
But that's really where the issue is. Hey, young people, you better get up. Because when you go to that your chat group, social media, and you get there, you get ready. Because the things that will hit you, if you do not have the capacity, you find that your soul is gone. You know, we call it electronic molecule. Sorry, you have to pardon me for all those my victims. What does electronic Molech mean? Molech was a principle in which the fathers and the mothers were offered their children and they burn them. That was the common Canaanite worship. Alright? Molech was the god of the Moabites. And they throw their children, they give it, you know, and they burn the children. And as they burn the children, they beat the drums. So that the mothers will not hear the cries of the children. Alright? But there's a modern one where we train our children to be engineers. We train them to be doctors. You know, to have the good American life. Someone prays about it. Say, here is the place where the land swallows up these people, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, I hope you children know. And you parents, you also know where you are. You are in a place where the land swallows up its inhabitants. What does that mean? There is a spirit that overwhelms. It overwhelms your mind. It's a flood. Identity crisis. Who will you be like? Rihanna. So of the children, they know what Rihanna ate yesterday. You know her best dress. But do you know how many books are in the New Testament? How many books are in the Old Testament? What are the characters in the Bible? You don't know anything about the Bible, but you know everything about the mountain, about Rihanna, about Jesse. You have candidates in your head. The soul is gone. In church is the caca. That's what we're talking about, the inward man. That's the identity. This one is for the, how about the older people? Alright, we are pursuing this, we are pursuing this, we are pursuing this, and there is no oil. So there's really nothing for God. It's chaff. We give God chaff. We're not really there. We're not really there. You know? And then, you know, so that's what he's speaking about, the vessel. And sorry, the lamb. Now the vessel speaks about the soul. That's the reality. That's the man, the inward man, that needs life. And by the way, that soul is the bride of Christ. That's why, you know, when you talk about virgin, a virgin is, you know, you see, when the Bible, when you look at the scriptures, when you read it, when we read it just as it is, paper, as letter, the letter kills. What does that mean? The letter means, we look at the scripture, but it doesn't help us to touch what is in the heart of God. Because, you know, this, what is here is just reflecting the heart of God. You know? Now, so God has something in mind when he speaks about virgin. A virgin means, naturally, a woman who has not known man, isn't it? So, what is a virgin in the spirit? What would you think a virgin means? Because he said there is wise virgin and foolish virgin. In other words, when I take it up in the spirit, there is a type of soul that God is speaking about. And there is another type of soul that he is not speaking about. So in other words, there are different types of soul. There are different manifestations of it. Like and he said one is a virgin, and the other one is hallowed. But you have that kind of, you have a virgin means one that has not known man. So is he speaking about a soul that is joined to wrong spirit, contrary spirit, that will define it? Therefore, that soul is not fit, alright, to be joined unto Christ. Now look at Ephesians 5. Say that he might present unto himself what? A glorious church without spot. So you see the understanding of the virgin, you see? So when you think about a virgin, it's not just natural, you're thinking about a church, a people. You're thinking about the soul, a condition of the heart. That is what God is looking at. That is what is expecting him and expecting. And having said all, in the midst of the darkness, I must acquit myself. I must overcome.
Yes, yes.
And present myself, you know, unto him. I must overcome. You know. So there is a call, you know, that's coming to us. You know, and he's saying there is a wise virgin. That's a foolish virgin, you know. And this is all church matter. That is, it's me and you. There's a way of transferring it. We speak about those people, and we call their name. We call their system. Sometimes Babylon, all kinds of names, you know. But at the end of the day, we see that we need more of the world than even those people that we are referring to. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we see that we need oil. So I need to have the oil in my vessel, in my spirit, because it's the lamp that fits the vessel. You know, the way it's designed. You know. So we see that my connection to God, my relationship to God, must be such that the oil must be on it. There must be the oil coming from my spirit to my spirit, and then to my soul, and then to the body. So the body is the lowest part of man, but it so happens that the body
has become the highest part of man.
The Bible says when you see beggars lying in the hall, and the masters are walking, then you know that there is trouble. Is that not so? So we see a church that is body. Me, when I say church, I'm talking about you, me, and myself. I am body. That is, I'm more body concerned than my soul. Yesterday I ate hamburger, you ate chicken. What is the game to eat? You had, I had me a good dinner. I think that's how we say it. I had me a good dinner. I had me a good meal. No problem with that. How about the inward man? What meal did you give you inward man? Don't you understand? What meal did you have me in the spirit? Amen. Hallelujah. So we spend so much time on this, but I'm not to say the body for the meat. The meat. No, sorry. Meat for the belly. The belly for meat. Two of them are going where? Are going down. Amen. And the Bible tells us, Ecclesiastes, that when the man dies, the body goes down to the ground. So what's the next one? The spirit goes back to God. Because it says, appointed unto men once to die. Huh? So the spirit goes back. The spirit is a messenger, is an ability for my soul to relate to heaven. Amen. Yes. So the soul uses the spirit to hear God, to talk and relate to God. And uses the body. You know, but when the body has now the energy in my soul is so weak that the body has now dominated it. So what we have is that we are not a carnal people. That's, we have limited. So when we talk about hearing God is with my hand. I have to think it out. If this cannot add up, they say, look, this doesn't add up. Have you heard that term before? It doesn't add up. Sister Florence, what added up? Where is she now? What added up in your own story? Did it add up? So then there's another life. There's another reality. Amen. And that's what the man called Jesus came to show. He came to show the reality of the source of God. The reality of the life of the inward man dominating the outward man. We call it miracle, but it's a reality. It's a reality that you and I must come to quickly. You know, we don't even have time. We must quickly come to that point because the earth is swallowing up. We are gone already. I mean, the church, Christian church, is so, we are so much in the minority now. We are not everything. We are talking about the UK. Ghana to say, over 10 years ago, that we start firing the shot. Western Europe will be Islamic in 30 years. God took the man out quickly. Because the way they were going, if he was still here now, we wouldn't be speaking English. They were speaking English. It was funding mosques. I mean, we go to East Africa. I mean, the guy is building mosques in every town. That's the best.
And that, who is that?
Galati. Yes, he founded it. And that money is still there now. So you see, Europe is becoming Islamic Europe.
Oh, yeah.
How about America? No, America is not. Okay. Well, you guys better wake up. Amen. So it's not going to come the way we are looking at it. It's coming another way, but it's not even the ISIS or the thing. We are looking at the darkness. We are looking at, you know, this overflowing. You know, the system just overwhelming you, just overload us, that you can't function. By the time you come back home, and by whenever you feel, you say, let me pray. I can assure you, 3 minutes you are gone. You are in heaven already. You are tired. Nothing to offer God. Amen. He said, I will try again tomorrow. I will try again tomorrow. So in other words, you are running from pillar to post. That is, we are reacting. Amen. I don't have to say that if you are wrong with the footmen, what are you going to do with the horses? Let me talk about the horses. When the Bible talks about horses, it's speaking about spirit. some kind of spirit, and there's a kind of spirit that that we're interested in, that called locust spirit. Now, when in Egypt, you know, because you can't talk about midnight without going to Egypt, and Egypt is an example of America, an example of the world, an example of Nigeria, an example of my house, my circumstance. Because at home, I'm dealing with social media, my, you know, I have 10 WhatsApp groups. How many groups do you have on WhatsApp? You have 500 messages on them. And when you open, you have to play. When you open it, you have to play, download it.
Yeah.
Download means I have to wait for it. Don't go around, go around, go around, go around. And then I check all the messages. And then respond to all the messages. Brother, in 4 hours. Or three, if you are very fast. If you are very ruthless like me, you can try 1 hour. You may not even more. Then you have to deal with your emails. Work emails, private emails, whichever one you have to do. Then you have to write the report. You have to plan. A weekend, you have to wash your car, you have to do family, you have to go and do this project and all that. So what time do you have? So you start off here on Sunday morning. We are looking at our faces. We start quarreling. We start eating one another. Because the oil has run. You know, so we are in a place where we must halt it. We must halt it. Something must give. We must end it and come on top of the situation. Amen. You know, we're in a place where we must halt it. So I will talk about this local spirit. Now, when you go to Egypt, something happened. Before, there were 10 plagues. Before the 10 plagues, there was something else that happened. There was the confrontation with the serpents. So that's the principal spirit. You know, the serpent is a nature of the soul. It's a nature of the mind. It's like earthbound. You know, the serpent gets this heat from the ground. From the energy, that's why every part of his body is on the earth. It's completely grounded. It's an earthbound lifestyle. Now, an earthbound lifestyle is a lifestyle of pleasure, fun. And that is what America is the world's greatest achievement of fun. And that's where we are living. Mm-hmm. It says, a church who lives in, it says, in Pegasus, where Satan dwelleth. Yeah? So that means I'm dwelling in a place where, you know. So when we went to Germany, it took us to, somebody created Pegasus. It says that they made it completely how it should be. You know? Those of us, we are not in America physically, but we are there spiritually. Because see, everybody is struggling to be American in the speaking. You hear what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Then we are dressing like it. My wife said, you must be a very strong spirit. The whole world has been conquered by it. And you know how it is? Party dressing. You go to the airport, people are just crazy. Everybody's mad. The things you should wear at home in your personal clothing is now high street clothing.
Yeah.
It's a spirit, it's attacking your mind.
Yeah.
The problem now doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So, you know, and that's what happened to Lot. Yeah. Before Lot knew it, the spirit of the Lord had overrun him. And guess what? He got to the children. He said, what is this babbler saying? What are you speaking about? They began to argue with him. And anyway, he got the result. Because by the time he got, even the daughter, you know. So if you're looking at this thing that's working. Now, locust was the eighth plague. Midnight, darkness was the next one. You understand? So there are spirits that work to hasten this experience of darkness. And in the darkness, go to midnight.
You understand?
So there was a place of darkness, and then there was midnight. At midnight was the angel of death came. But the interesting thing was that it was at midnight that the sons of God also came out. Amen. You understand? So at midnight, two sons, two firstborns are going to manifest. The firstborn of darkness, that's Pharaoh. Alright? God is going to bring judgment on him. But at the same time, God says, you must release my son at midnight. So, the things we see, you need it, I need it, to trigger the overcoming. But the thing is that I must react to it. You know, the thing is, how do I relate to the things I'm looking at in my, the things pressing on me, how do I relate to it? Somebody says it can break you, it can also make you. Amen.
Yes.
So the thing, you know, so the thing is, how do I deal with it? And when you go to Revelation chapter 9, it tells us a little bit about this, spirit of locusts. A man who talks so much, he had a lot of vision about it. A man called Joel, in the book of Joel, talked about the locusts. He says, God will restore the years of the locusts. You know, so for me, it's a lot of comfort. That the things I have lost to the devil, I can get it. But let me tell you something, relationships can be healed. Yeah, people are not saying amen. God can heal the relationships. But you see, it takes someone to stand in the gap and say, God, must bring a healing, must restore. Now, the thing about locusts is very important. What does the locust do? Locusts by nature, they go for the green plant. The more tender it is, the more food it is for the locust. Do you understand? So the locust spirit is the spirit that attacks tenderness. It deals with intimacy. It deals with relationship. So what it means is, it is a spirit that brings a barrier, brings hardness of emotion. Hardness of, I mean, you go out in the city today, nobody is going to smile at you. Even the radio, even the announcement on the wherever you are is electronic, is the computer coming to you. Isn't it? If you want to recharge, press one. If you want to you want to talk to the operator, press three. If you want to do tango. Nobody is talking to you. The system, you are dealing with a faceless, coldless, no, there's no life coming. You're not getting life from anything, anybody. Alright. So with time it begins to get you to become cold. Yes, you to become cold. It gets home. The husband is looking at the internet. Yeah. Watch people. Maybe if I today I was watching people there, the mother stands and the child stands up, the next thing comes the iPhone. The mother is checking, the child is checking. I told not to do the thing. We're all trying to catch up with and upload and do all the things. You know, and also it comes into the fellowship. You know, where intimacy begins to be eroded, and it's a spirit. And even in our relationship with God, it comes to a time when we are no longer intimate with God, and that tender fervency, the fire. Somebody called it first love. You understand? Our first love. You know, the drive, the excitement has been taken up by this spirit. So what will end up is a people, it is these people with their mouth. They relate to God. They with their hands. Very fast. And I'm telling you, this is a very little, I'm talking about myself, a very real situation. Where I have a name, I'm a Christian. But in practice,
I wanted a different kind of life. You know? We are training a people who do not know God. The kind of Christianity we are given is that of rules and regulations. You do this, you do this, you do this, you are born again. You do this and do that, you know. And we are coming to less and less a place where people are hearing God. God can say to you, bro, sit down here, you stand up, you stand up. You know? And we must walk by that principle and also encourage the people of God to also walk by that. That is where every man is relating to God and hearing God directly and responding to God. And you know, we have that is always going to happen with 5 minute quiet time. Let me just read, because when I come to fellowship, I'm going to ask me what people are doing to do. So let me make sure that I have something and I'm going to say, where did you say, where did you say, I did this and that. All those things are going out of the meaning. Because it's make believe, it's not real, it's not real. You know, the locus will determine that. You know? So, we are coming to a point where the scripture says, let him that is righteous be righteous still. Let him that is unclean be unclean still. Let him that wants to be true still. That is, we are coming to a point that every man will become what he wants to. That is, as you desire in your heart, that is what is going to. Where is going to be? There is so much in so short a time, but let's look at the positive. You know, how do you deal with it? I share just a little testimony, and I have it's not big, but for me it's very big, and I share it because. It's real. Well, some people have said to me it made a lot of sense to them. And because it makes a lot of sense to me, I can talk about it. You see, we have to win the war. We have to stop things in the mind. That's the place you start with the mind. Yes. By the way, that's where the devil starts. Yeah. Example. Guess what? In Egypt. Where did the thing start in Egypt? In the mind. Pharaoh meets with Moses, a context. Now, what was the issue there? It was the serpent. Where did you find the serpent with Pharaoh? Have you seen Pharaoh before? See the picture of the serpent in the mind. Amen. So when you see Pharaoh, what that defines him is this serpent in the mind. That is in nature, a carnal mind, an earthbound mindset. Okay, so that is the devil's weapon. He's not going to change from it. He's even making it stronger. Amen. Okay, look at the scripture in Romans chapter 12. What does it say? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you want to present yourself or present your bodies. That word body, soul, mind means your soul, your whole being. Okay? As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Which is. Okay? So that is a principle. The first principle of overcoming is to repent from being Old Testament Christian. That's the first point. Who is the Old Testament? The Old Testament Christian is one that says this room is the temple of God. That's the mentality we have. I'm not forgetting that this one and this one is the temple of God. My home, my spirit, my soul, and the members of my household is the realm of my soul. That is my mind. The way I think, the way I relate, the things I desire, the things that, you know, Jesus said, destroy this temple today, and in 3 days I'll do what? He spoke of the temple of his body. So, anybody who wants to overcome must, first of all, make the paradigm within. It is again another big ingredient that means a fundamental change. And what is that change? Mindset.
am the temple of God.
And he said, look, God said, know ye not that you are the temple of the living. It's not just an attitude, but an attitude that you have that must begin to affect your relationship with God, your relationship with people. Then my value system. Because if I know I'm the temple of God, I'm not going to be a dumping ground. Why would I spend 4 hours looking at style, the kind of dress people are wearing, when Adam didn't wear this dress? You understand? Adam didn't wear this dress. He didn't need it. His dress was light. You understand? That's a new fashion called light. The soul wears dress, do you know that? It's either the soul is wearing light or darkness. Don't you understand? So why would I spend time in measuring different types of dress when I should be more concerned with the clothing, the glory? You understand what I'm saying? So when I begin to have a different kind of mindset, it is good. Some things will change. My dress will change. My value system, the things, the time I spend, you know? Yes, it's good to have good hair to look nice. But when I realize that there is somebody that needs to look nice, then, you know, the value system will start changing. So the first thing is, one, my mindset, to know that I am the temple of the living God. And when we speak about temple, we are looking at, you see, when you speak about the mind, the next verse says, and be ye transformed. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Metamorpho. Transformed by what? The renewing of the machine. That's a machine. The mind is a machine. Amen. And that machine works in a particular, that's the way it works. That's a format. The machination, that's it. It's working. And the way the mind works, the unconscious part of the mind is even more important than the conscious. Yes. I don't know if I'm speaking to somebody.
Yes.
Huh? When you are sleeping, what the other thing is going on? Your mind has ceased to exist. Eh? 6 hours ago, you ceased to exist, isn't it? The only thing happened that you switched off the conscious, and the unconscious began to be active. And that is the fact that is relating to the heavens.
Yes.
But first thing, I will pray with my mind and I will do up again. Hallelujah. So we are coming to the point where we are realizing that this thing is more exciting than we thought. And that's why the devil says, man, I must dwell in man. Man must be my dwelling place. Say, I will go to Mount Zion. I will sit upon it and I shall be like God. The devil saw something in you. He saw something in the world. He said, I must have the world. I'm not going to leave it. Even when Jesus comes, I'll give it to you if you don't need that and worship me. He saw something. He's going somewhere. And I can say to the devil, we are not going to have this
place. Amen.
You can do anywhere, you go anywhere, but when it comes here, like you said, not so. Eh? Can we add it? Not so.
Yes.
This vessel, not so.
Yes.
It is given to God. Yes. He will be the Lord. He will be the master.
Amen.
He will rule over my mind, my soul, my emotions.
Yes.
I told the man, I said, look, not even one book. And we are not living in who, for example, our mind, our emotion, our design, our body, our spirit. But the man says, for me and my household, this household is the spiritual household. That is, all the complement of me, we will serve. Now, it is a commitment I need to come to. Somebody calls it, well, I call it what I call the offering of the lifestyle. You don't have to say, I will not watch television. I will not go. That's not. There are things that will take care of that. Alright? When you are committed to a lifestyle change, things naturally will change.
So the things you do, your priorities, the value system will automatically change. Amen.
Yes.
You know, so I need to come to that point where I realize who I am, my relationships, my goal, where I'm going to, my calling, my potential. You know, like someone says that God has better things. You know, God believes better things of us. You know, God has the faith. You know, God speaks at the things, calling the things that did not,
yes,
as though they were. God looks at you and he's saying, you are Israel. Amen. You look at yourself, the man says, I say, I chose you while you were still there and made you a prophet to the nation. Tell me, I can't even speak. God says, forget about it. I've still made you what you are. Amen. You know, so we need to look into into God's hand and have faith. You know, we need to see ourselves for who we are, the way God is looking at us. Somebody says, we are grasshoppers. God says, really? We are grasshoppers. And our God is the God of grasshoppers. You know, so I pray that we may never come to that point. We don't take that time. Where we say we are grasshoppers. We cannot overcome it. You know, these people, they are machines that are machines of iron. You know, they have cities walled up to heaven. That they are giants. I can tell you a giant. It's called desire. It's called passion. Og and Simon, those two names. One means passion, one means desire, the other one means emotion. Alright? And they are giants. The God says that Moses, they overcame them. So we can overcome these things that are running over us. You know? The all the things that the devil is throwing, we can overcome. You know? Someone says we can go up and take the land. The land God is giving to us is not a land uninhabited.
Correct.
That is where God is taking us to. There are giants there. They are strong. Strong. And someone says, if our God said we can overcome, then we can overcome. Amen. You know, so say, by my God, we will run over it too. I'm not going to do it. But by my God, we will run over it too. See, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will depend and trust in the name of the Lord. So my strength is not in me. My strength is in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know? Maybe next time we can go a little bit more in that direction. We will look at the strengthening. How do we bring strength? You know, but the second thing that he said there, which is key, he says, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind. The mind must be renewed. Now, let's just look at one aspect of renewing the mind. Just one aspect. If we go to Psalm 19, verse 7, it gives us one major key. It says the word of the Lord is perfect. Do what? Converting. Someone says to me, I don't know what to do. I say, you know what to do. You can do something. I got to tell brother I was going to give. So we were going to Ukraine. And his brother said to me, his sister taught us how to read the Psalms. I said, how is it? He said, we read 5 Psalms a day. And I said, how is that going to be possible? I said, how is that going to be possible? I'm looking at my time schedule. It's not going to happen. The brother, it's happening. Real and well. Since 2015, it has been happening. 5 times a day. Yesterday, I didn't read any times. So today, I already have 5 in arrears. And if I just do whatever I want to do today, it is 2 days carry forward. Amen. So, of course, you know what that means. If I have to keep up with it, it means I have to shut down something. Don't you understand? from this will automatically shut down. Because I'm committed to doing it. Alright? Because now, why am I committed to doing it? Psalm 119:9 says, where before I shall a young man. No, I'm young.
Hallelujah.
Then I went
out.
Where before I shall a young man cleanse his way. By doing what? Taking him according to the word. By the way, I want to encourage all the young people. Go and read Psalm 119. Of course, that means the old people will follow them. Because if you are not to supervise them, you must do it before you can supervise them. See? He says, your word has been not forsaken. Right? He said, I'll keep it on you. I mean, so many positives.
Yes. Yes.
You know? And they thought of it. They said, look, the Psalms, there are 150 of them, isn't it? 150.
Yes.
And in a month, how many days? On average, you have 30. A few months are 31. Once in a while is 28. So it evens out. So if you take 5 times a day, at the end of 30 days, what have you done? You've done the 50. You want to do it. So there are different ways of doing it. One common way is to say, if you start out on day 1, so all the Psalms that start with 1, so Psalm 1, Psalm 31, Psalm 61, Psalm 91, 121, they are done for that day. The following day, 2, the following day, 3, for instance, today is 22, so that means Psalm 25 today, 55, 115, and 135. So tomorrow it's already programmed for you. Alright, so that's one. Then we found out that there are 31 programs, chapters of programs. So again, you have a meal, just like you have television, what is that one? A Brooklyn. And they say one is for the heart, one is for this. No problem. That God has also given it to you. Proverbs, one a day. So if you add one proverb to 5 psalms, it's already a diet for your soul.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. That is a sweet word. Pleasant words are sweet to the soul. They are so fit on words. Amen.
Amen.
The body is of fruit, you are so fit on words. When you go to video, YouTube, you are going to feed their mind with pictures. When you read the scriptures, pictures are generated from the scriptures for their mind. That is what is going on. Amen. As I'm speaking now, it's creating images in your mind. And that is how you are feeding. So when you go and you are listening to Jay-Z and Beyonce, and I say, it's creating pictures in your mind and you are feeding for me. Amen. Say amen. That is the reality of the soul. The soul is an image worshiper. Any image on this mind, it must follow it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what does it say? We all with an open face. Do what? Beholding the glory of the Lord. Our what?
Change.
If you want to be changed, you must see something. You must show, you must present an image to your soul. And that. Now, when you don't do it, the devil will present one to your soul. Because there is no battle. Either the devil is presenting, or you are presenting. Now, if you want to take charge of your destiny, you will be the one presenting. Like the man said, I shall present no evil thing before my face. That was just covenant. I made a covenant with my eyes. I shall not behold.
Yes.
Right. So you and I need to make a covenant. This word of the Lord shall not depart from my mouth. It means that we meditate. Otherwise, meditate means you are presenting an image.
Yes.
And it's the image I'm presenting that you have been changing to. Amen.
Yes.
So how is man not going to change?
Hallelujah.
How is man not going to be transformed?
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know? So the reading of the scriptures, meditation thereof, cannot be casual. It must become an active lifestyle. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it's a lifestyle that pays dividends quickly. Amen. I can tell you that since I started, my mind is sharper. Sharper. More reactive. I couldn't believe I could read even two scriptures in 3 chapters a day. Sometimes I could read 15 chapters a day. Just go. It's not a boast. It's something that I would like you to try. Go into the scriptures. Give yourself to it. And you will be surprised at the depth of the capacity that is in you. Amen. And the purity of your thought. You in America have 24 hours life. Use it. Yes. We use it in Nigeria. We have to go extra mile to use it. Okay? We have something that will play MP3 play through the night. Because my mind doesn't sleep. So while I'm sleeping, the scriptures are getting into my mind. So at the background is playing. And the Lord said to Moses, he says to Moses, it's playing. When I go in to have my worship in the morning, I could do the whole book of Matthew, just washing up. And then you are driving from here to your shop and you are playing the scriptures as you're going. So you could now turn your daily lifestyle into a conference lifestyle. Amen. So the things you do when you go to convention, when you guys have this at September thing, you can do them on a daily basis. September is not just for September, it can be today. That is, you are listening to scriptures, you are listening to the tapes, you are listening, taking notes, and walking around. So you see that it's not just a rule and regulation, it becomes an excitement, it becomes an adventure, it becomes something you are looking up to. In fact, when you don't do, you feel something is wrong. Because you have changed the lifestyle. Now, that is one sure way of buying oil. That's one sure way of regaining the control. You regain the control, and then you begin to dictate the way it can go. I'm sorry it's taking some time, but it's clear that there's a voice that is speaking. And it says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go get oil." Because there's a time when the door will close. All this grammar we're speaking, we won't even have the time to even go and practice. We still have some time, So while we have the time, let's go buy oil. And as we go out going to respond to God, we need to have faith. That is a rewarder of them that diligently seek it. Amen. So he that comes to God must believe that he is. He is means that he is faithful. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he says, if you sow, we're going to reap. Double measure, full measure. Is that which is going to come to us. So for me, I've seen the change. I can speak to it personally. And so I need something that works. And something that you can develop. Some brethren even have what they call a 90-day Bible challenge. Read through the Bible in 90 days, you are done. Watchman Nee used to do it every 2 weeks. New Testament every 2 weeks. It was a normal lifestyle. In China, they memorize the whole scriptures. They don't carry scriptures. The scriptures are in their mind. The same person like you. Because we are in America, we are in Nigeria, everything is free. We have no pressure. But those who have pressure, this is in their mind. So it becomes a lifestyle that they work with. But now the pressure is coming on us, so we can make those adjustments. Where it's no longer a lost book to us, but that it becomes active. Praise God. Amen. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with you guys. So we're here, and we look forward to more time. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.